Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
How can you dominate your day before breakfast? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here, and today we're going to learn the secret to maximizing your productivity. But first, I want to remind you to subscribe to our newsletter over at leadx.org. Each issue has actionable tips you can try out right away to advance your career and to fulfill your potential. Visit leadx.org. Our guest today is a keynote speaker, the author of The 5 a.m. Miracle, Dominate Your Day Before Breakfast, and he's the host of the 5 a.m. Miracle podcast. Our guest is Jeff Sanders. Welcome, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I'm excited to be here today.
Now, Jeff, we're going to talk about the 5 a.m. Miracle in just a minute, but I want to start by asking a couple of questions that our listeners are always curious about. The first is, will you share with us a time when you failed, and what did you learn from it?
It's a great question. I think that a recent example from my life is actually from my own podcast, in the sense that I talk every week on my show about healthy habits, about fitness, about productivity. And it was late in the summer of last year, I realized I wasn't actually practicing what I was preaching to the degree that I was like, man, I'm not in good shape. I'm not following my habits like I want to. I'm off schedule. I'm off track here. And so I kind of had this, like, you know, come to Jesus moment where I was like, I need to actually live out everything that I'm talking about and share that with my audience and share areas where I failed, share areas where I wasn't doing what I should be doing, and then try to kind of get myself back on track. And that's what my audience goes through every single day themselves, and they're learning from me. But I had to kind of learn from myself and go back to square one with my own advice and follow it. And it was this kind of humbling moment for me, because I talk about these things and I generally do live them out, but I found a time where I had let life get in the way. I was busy. I was stressed out. I had lots of other excuses to not do my habits. And so because of that, I realized I need to follow my plan regardless of what's going on. And then when I do, it works well. And I'm excited about it. But I had that moment where I was just, it was very clear to me I wasn't doing what I should be doing. And it was hard to have to share that with my audience, but it was necessary at the same time.
Great answer, Jeff. I mean, it's certainly always easier for guys like us, you know, even if we know something's a truth, it's easier to talk about it and to teach it than to live it. So what do you think of this notion of work-life balance? I mean, is it even important? And if it is, do you have any tips for how we can achieve it?
In general, I don't actually think that work-life balance is achievable on a daily basis. I think it definitely is over the long term. So, for example, if you're saying, well, I want to, you know, prioritize my family and my business and my health, you may not have time for all those every single day. But I think you definitely do over the course of many weeks and months. And so what I try to do is guarantee that I have scheduled time in a longer picture sense for each of those priorities. So maybe it's, you know, family time on the weekends, that's a more prioritized time, or health and fitness in the morning before I begin my workday. I also have very strict boundaries around my time to guarantee that if I have scheduled, those things are going to happen. So basically, it's a pre-planning process of saying, here are my priorities, here are the things I would like to have balanced over time, and then guaranteeing that time will actually take place over the longer term. And with that kind of plan in place, I don't feel the pressure to have to achieve balance every single day or be on my A game in every area of life constantly. It's really more of that long-term picture of, did I hit these things over the last few weeks and months? And if the answer is yes, then in general, my life is still progressing well without feeling that sense of guilt that comes with not having perfect balance every day.
That's great. And this, of course, is a great tee up for some of the specifics that you have in your book, The 5 a.m. Miracle, Dominate Your Day Before Breakfast. And I'm sure, Jeff, you know, some of my listeners are already like, what? You're going to ask me to get up at 5 a.m.? You know, 6 is a struggle. So why should we be waking up at the crazy hour of 5 a.m.?
Well, the good news is 5 a.m. is an arbitrary time that I made up. So that's not a requirement. The reason why I chose that time was, this is my life, well, 6 years ago now. I had a full-time job. I had a side business that I was growing, which is what I do now full-time. And I was training for a marathon. And I had a very busy schedule every single day. And the only time I had to train for my marathon was a run before I got to work. So a 5 a.m. wake-up call made sense for me. And then I discovered this power of early mornings. And that could be applied to fitness, could be applied to work projects, could be applied to healthy habits of any kind. And so once I realized that waking up early gave me this opportunity to get stuff done, then I wanted to stick with that. And for me, it's worked out really well to choose 5 a.m. as that ideal time. But like on my show, I discussed, you could choose any time that works for you. It's about being intentional with your own life. And for most people, if you're awake in the early mornings, if you're alert, if your brain is functioning well, then that's a great time to wake up and get something done, especially if it's a quiet time. You know, the rest of the world is still asleep or they're still preparing for work, and you can actually get great stuff done at early hour. And then if you do dominate your day before breakfast, the rest of your day is that much easier because you got that stuff done so early.
So however we define early, 6 a.m., 5 a.m., 4 o'clock, you know, what are the tricks to actually making it work? How do we get out of bed at that earlier hour instead of just hitting the snooze button over and over again?
It's a great question. I think that the whole process begins the night before. And so if you want to have a 5 a.m. wake-up call, you should probably be in bed by 9 p.m. And for a lot of people, 9 p.m. might sound early, or it might sound like that's not going to work for my schedule. But the reality is, if you have an ideal wake-up time, you have to also plan out the number of hours of sleep that you want to get and guarantee that you can stop your work and your day the night before so you can get to bed and be asleep on time. And so if that happens, if your evening routine is set in place first, then the morning hours are that much easier. And so the whole process begins with trying to wrap up your day, have a strict evening boundary, you know, prepare for sleep, actually be in bed. And if you follow that simple process, you'll be asleep. You'll wake up the next morning refreshed and ready with no need for, you know, snoozing or lots of alarm clocks. You just get out of bed, be excited, and run your morning routine from there. So the evening routine really is the key factor there.
It's amazing. If you want to win your day, you really need to plan it or start it the night before. And this is a big weakness of mine because, you know, either I'm working on something and I'm excited by it, you know, and I just keep working on it later and later into the evening. Or if I'm not working, but I'm having fun, then it's tempting to just, you know, click the second or the next episode of whatever I'm binge watching on Netflix. And Jeff, I don't know if you ever do this, but like sometimes if I really know tomorrow I've just got to win the day, then I'll set an evening alarm, you know, not just my 5 a.m. alarm, but an alarm for, say, 9 o'clock at night or 9:30. And, you know, when it goes off, then that's my signal. I say, all right, let me get everything organized. You know, let me get ready for bed. Let me get the coffee pot prepped for tomorrow. Let me tell the kids I'm going to bed. Because if I don't set that alarm, I'm going to forget. And then the next thing I know, it's midnight.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love that. An evening alarm is an awesome idea because that's so effective to remind yourself every single night that the process has to begin at some point. Like at some point, the work has to stop and, you know, plan the next day and get to sleep. And so if that's a regimented routine in your life, then the whole early morning thing is that much easier.
Now, your book, The 5 a.m. Miracle, it's really about high productivity, high achievement, and, you know, living the life that you really want. And we're recording this. It's early January 2017, and a lot of people have just set their New Year's resolutions and their annual goals. But you say don't set annual goals. What should we be doing instead?
You know, I discovered a few years ago that I really was not very good at achieving annual goals, and most people aren't as well. And so it's one of those realizations that I should be setting shorter term goals because that's the only thing I can control. And so I created a system that I call the quarter system, which is basically just a very simple way of saying that instead of a 12 month goal, my goals are more 12 weeks or 3 months or 90 days, however you want to phrase that. Basically saying that set a really short term deadline for everything you're going to plan out and don't plan anything too seriously beyond that, because it's just too hard to predict how life's going to go that much further in advance. And so I know that the goals I have set for myself right now are really only for the next couple of months. And then beyond that, I have ideas of things I could pursue, but they're not scheduled, they're not guaranteed, they're just ideas for later. And so with that in place, I can focus exclusively on just the one or two top goals I have right now. And by doing that, I get so much more progress done. I can predict my schedule so much better. And I have seen such a tremendous improvement in my overall goal achievement process because I'm not thinking so far in advance and therefore having the guilt when I don't get a goal accomplished. I'm really trying to say, like, how can I just focus on what matters most right now?
This is something, yeah, I learned it in the business world. You know, it's routine, certainly among publicly traded companies. They're all on a quarterly system. You know, they have to report their results to Wall Street every 90 days. And in the business world, you know, that can skew to some short-term thinking. But I don't really think there's a downside for us as individuals. In 2017, I've got, you know, goals around writing and publishing books and fitness. But of course, if I think I have the entire year to get to that goal, I might be slacking off in January. But if I break it down and into 90-day goals, I'm not going to have that feeling like that I've got any extra time or that I can even skip a day. So did you switch from annual to quarterly and see better compliance yourself?
Oh, certainly. I think with procrastination, especially what you're hitting on there, that's definitely the biggest issue. And I think that for me personally, I dropped it back from 1 year to, down to the 90 days. And then actually the current goals I'm working on in this current month, I only have 30 to 45 day goals. So my time frame is getting even smaller because the projects I'm working on, if I hyper focus on them, I can get them done in that shorter time frame. And so I'd rather get them done in 30 days as opposed to 90 or a full year. And so if that is possible, then I'd rather that be the case for me. And so that's what I try to do is think very short term in terms of that individual project. But then I have long term plans as well to say, how does this specific goal, you know, fit into the bigger picture of my business plan or life plan so that I'm not just thinking too short term, but that I am really having that big picture in mind.
I also know in your book, you talk about the power of habits and anchor habits. Talk to us a little bit more about those.
Sure. I love anchor habits are great because I think that every single person has these key things we do every day. So I define anchor habits as those core habits that tend to happen whether or not you're doing, you know, the things correctly or not in your day that you want to. So for example, an anchor habit might be to wake up, go to work and work out. Those three things tend to happen for most people most of the time. And so an anchor habit is that thing that's already happening. And then the question is, if I want to add a new habit or if I want to change my habits or improve my habits, I'm going to base those new habits off of ones I'm already doing. So for example, if you want to add yoga into your day, you might say, well, I'm already going to go for a run. I'll just do a little yoga after the run. Or if I want to, you know, drink more water, I'll do so right after I wake up out of bed every morning. And so you have these core things you're doing, and then you can just add on little kind of side or complementary habits that add to those. I think it's a nice way to say, like, if I want to improve my life, I don't want to reformat everything. I'll make a small change that's already going to be easy for me to do because I already have some key things in place that I'm already doing.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And Jeff, I want to emphasize your point with a personal example. You know, a couple of years ago, I decided I wanted to start my mornings with a green protein smoothie. And I still do that now. And when I first tried to start that habit, sometimes I'd remember, but sometimes I didn't. And the next thing I know, you know, I drank a couple cups of coffee and it's 11 o'clock in the morning and I just never did the smoothie. So the way I solved that, you know, my anchor habit in the morning is my coffee. I never forget drinking a cup of coffee in the morning. So I just moved my bullet blender and the protein powder right out onto the counter next to the coffee pot. So when I wake up, you know, I flip the switch on the coffee pot up to get the coffee brewing. I move 3 inches to the left and grab the protein powder and make my smoothie. And actually 3 inches to the left of that is my water container. So I load up on my water, but it's only because of that coffee habit. That anchor habit was already there. I now never miss a day on my water or my smoothie just because it's all lined up right in a row. So even little things can really help like that.
Oh, definitely. I know in my own life, I put my floss in my shower because I wasn't flossing when I was brushing my teeth often enough. But I go into the shower every single day, guaranteed, and I see the floss there. So I floss in the shower. Just a little hacks like that are actually really effective.
That's great. You've already given us so many ideas, but before we wrap up, I like to explicitly challenge our listeners to try something new today so they can become at least 1% better. What do you want to challenge our listeners to try?
Actually, kind of going on your habit there, one thing that I have done for many years is drink a full liter of water when I first get out of bed. That is one thing that has helped me more than anything because I get so much benefit from being hydrated. I think that when, you know, overnight long, you're 8 hours, 9 hours of sleep, your body gets dehydrated. Most people tend to drink coffee and soda throughout the day, things that are not adding to hydration. And I know if you want to be productive and you want to be healthy, you need to have the energy to support that. And it's amazing to me how much energy I get from drinking water first thing in the morning. I can think more clearly. I can focus on my goals more. So one thing I would challenge the listeners to do is to wake up and just drink a large quantity of water, whether that is for you. I choose a full liter, which is quite a bit, actually. So you can go maybe a half liter at first. But drink water first thing in the morning and see how that affects your body and your mind. It's so powerful to wake up and have that kind of clarity and that physical response to the water that you have that actually wakes you up internally. And I love that feeling.
Jeff, some listeners might be thinking, what? Drink water? You know, it is a powerful thing to do. I agree with you. You know, when we wake up, we're already about 1% dehydrated, and 1% dehydration is enough to have an impact, you know, on your thinking, your creativity, your focus, your overall physical energy. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I think most people should be drinking almost a gallon of water a day. It obviously depends on your weight, but you need to be drinking a lot more water than you are right now, than you realize. And if you start by drinking a liter right away, then you're almost there.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's so powerful to wake up and have, like, the full liter is about 32 ounces or about a quarter of a gallon, I guess, in that sense. And so if you begin the day with that amount of water, you're that much farther ahead too.
That's right. What's the best way our listeners can find out more about you, your company, your books?
Well, jeffsanders.com is the website, and my podcast, The 5 a.m. Miracle, is on iTunes, probably the best place to begin to learn more about me and what I'm up to.
Perfect. Friends, you've just been mentored by productivity guru Jeff Sanders. Check out his book on amazon.com or your favorite bookstore, and you can get all the links mentioned in the show notes from this interview over at leadx.org. And listeners, let me ask you a favor. Are you getting your money's worth from this podcast? I know you are. Just take a minute then and leave a short, honest review on iTunes or Stitcher. The more reviews we get, the more likely it is that iTunes will tell other people about our show. So until next time, remember, you don't need a title to be a leader. Leadership is not about power or authority. Leadership is influence. How will you lead today?